Cosmic College, you learn of the mendacious miasma, the matrix that mangles our minds. From macrocosm to microcosm, you cut crap with Occam's razor. Together, we contemplate the chain of existence. We get the straight from the metacosmic void to free ourselves from the matrix and our slave mentality mode. Dr. Sasha and Janet Kirlesson teach the lessons post-cutting edge savants from anthropology, exopolitics, extraterrestrial studies, ancient history, psychology, astronomy, physics, and all chakra tantra. We also feature ufology, sociology, geology, philosophy, and theogen research, and relationship counseling. At the Cosmic College, experts in hypnotic regression and progression, holotropics, contact therapy, existential analysis, share their methods and experiences. You hear programs to center yourself, access your fair inner witness, and recognize, accept, coordinate, and synergize your multidimensional, multi-local sub-cells. At the Cosmic College, you get practical steps to spiritual ascension. And here are your hosts, Janet Kira and Dr. Sasha Lesson. Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Cosmic College. And we are broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii, and I have a special guest today. My co-host is Dr. Sasha Lesson. I'm Janet Kira Lesson. Is our special guest here today?
Yes, he is.
Okay, if you could have him come in. I have a headphone from him. Please have him come in now. We're live.
He's in the laboratory.
Okay. Wait. You don't even have a speaker on. Okay, here we go. I will tell you a little bit about today's show while Dr. Lesson brings in our special guest. So in the second hour, we have Omnek Onek. And let me tell you a little bit about her. She wrote a book called From Venus I Came, The Extraordinary Story of Omnek Onek, the Woman from the Astral Level of Venus. And in 1955, there was a landing of an extraterrestrial spaceship in the desert of Nevada in the USA. And let me read a little bit from her book. I was in the deep of night among the remote mountains and desert wilderness of Nevada. It was in the deep of night among the remote mountains and desert wilderness of Nevada that the glowing spaceship touched down. The odd humming sound steadily became fainter and fainter. Then, as if from nowhere, a round opening appeared in the circular craft, and several figures stepped down into the headlights of an approaching car. One was a tall, handsome man with his long blonde hair neatly tucked away under a hat. Beside him stood a little girl and the ship's pilot. Minutes later, the tall man and his little blonde niece were on the way down the bumpy desert road while the mysterious spaceship sped off into the starry sky. The most earth-shaking revelation of the 20th century will be that since Earth was first colonized, human beings have been arriving to the planets in this very solar system, planets which most people today believe cannot possibly have advanced human life. Their ships land secretly in remote parts of the world where they are met by friends who have already been absorbed into Earth society. Most of the newcomers do not become involved in life here, something that has been going on for a long time. But the people who know about us or even suspect we exist are very few in number. Today, after almost three decades of silence, the truth about that chilly desert night can be told. It has sometimes seemed like an I have lived the life of Sheila, but Sheila was to be my name only until the time was right for me to tell Earth's people who I really am and where I really come from. That time has arrived. My real name is Omnek. I was a little blonde girl that night in the desert, and the stately man beside me was Odin, my loving uncle. Both of us had arrived from Tithania, T-Y-T-H-A-N-I-A, the planet you call Venus. As a child, I had made the decision to spend the rest of my life on Earth and as a matter of destiny more than anything else. I'm going to put us on with a little commercial here while I get my crew assembled. So I'll be right back. Peace, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Spaceship Earth. Her ongoing mission, to reach out to new peoples and create conscious, kind, loving, civilized civilizations. Societies free from crime, disease, murder, and war. Worlds where each citizen is born with basic sentient life rights. The right to live in dignity, truth, beauty, and authentic peace. A lasting peace full of love, with clean water, fresh air, unpolluted soil, healthy food, comfortable homes, and education free from programming, propaganda, and political agendas. Worlds where all have right livelihood, where their work's so much fun it feels like play because they're doing something to earn a living that they truly enjoy. These worlds, free from political systems that deny basic life rights, support freedom for all. Its citizens, free, are at choice, free to choose their own spiritual paths, relationship choices, sexual orientations, and govern their own bodies, souls, and selves from their heart's desire. Worlds where each citizen is encouraged to co-create with Source in unique, idiosyncratic, individualistic ways. They're supported to create diversity, maximize individual expression, respect individuals while embracing ahimsa, do no harm to any person, group, or the whole. Together, remembering our oneness, eternally connected, united by universal, unconditional, unlimited love, we boldly go where no world has ever gone before. Aloha and welcome back, everybody, to Cosmic College with your host, Janet Kira Lesson, and Dr. Sasha Lesson. And we got everybody assembled here. So today our special guest is Steve Omar. Say hi to everybody.
Aloha from Hawaii.
Okay. So we have been talking about the Maui UFO report. So Steve, what would you like to tell our listeners today about what's going on with UFOs and Maui?
Well, today we have Onyek from Venus on here, who I talked to on the phone. Basically, I'm going to tell about a Venusian connection that happened in Lahaina, and this is the first time it's ever been told about on radio or television. I've never spoken at my many lectures about it. It happened in 1972. We were told in 1950, 77 Venusians were dropped off on Earth incognito to dress like Earth people, go monitor the Earth. We remain very incognito and only appear to a few people like Onyek does. So what happened was Gabriel Green, who took over our Department of Interplanetary Affairs on an international basis in 1973, knew a man named Michael Barton, who also went by the name Michael X. And He wrote a book called Venusian Secret Science, which Gabriel was able to bring to Maui and give to us. It's a very rare book. And what happened was, according to Michael Barton, he lived in Santa Barbara, and they were seeing UFOs like out in the country. And so what they did, he went back hiking in the hills, and a spacecraft landed, and a couple of pilots came out, and they have long blonde hair. And there was a guy that had kind of violet eyes and a woman with kind of violet golden eyes. And the man's name was Lon Zara, and the woman's name was Shalana, and they said they were from the planet Venus. And what they did, they contacted Michael because he ran metaphysical lectures, and he had a metaphysical association, and they determined he was a really pure person to spread the message. So what they did, they gave him a bunch of information called the Venusian Secret Science and a series of contacts. And very rare book, and Gabriel Green was able to get a hold of it from him and bring it over to Maui in 1973. And in the book were detailed instructions how you can contact the pilot of a Venusian spacecraft. Now, when I first got this book, I was very skeptical. I look at it and I go, well, I don't know about this. You know, this could be kind of flaky. And what it did, it had these crystals, which they said were imported from Venus, and they were taken to Colorado. And they were at the White Temple of the Great White Lodge of the Great White Brotherhood. And you could get these crystals called telolith from the White Temple. And it told you how to get them. And also you had to do a telepathy called Metavision, where they gave you detailed instructions on this intergalactic telepathy. And they had a symbol, which they said many of the Venusian pilots wore on their spacesuit, and you had to meditate on the symbol. So I had the symbol embroidered on my shirt that I gave lectures with, and we sent Marama, who was in charge of the Department of the Universe, which was our interdimensional committee, to Colorado, and Marama actually brought back a bag full of these Venusian crystals. So what we did, we started meditating on them, and immediately we started seeing a lot of UFOs. They would come over our office almost every night, and they start buzzing the whole town of Lahaina, Maui, where we were. And we would have a meeting where we took these crystals to the meeting. We all meditated on the symbol, a big painting that we did of it. And we all saw UFOs. Like one meeting had a whole formation of UFOs come directly over the meeting when we were meditating on the symbol and using the crystals and the Metavision. So what we did, we painted the Venusian symbol on top of our staff car. And two of my assistants drove the car up to Haleakala Crater and came back later that night saying that about a 25-foot spacecraft with a dome on it came down about 25 feet over the top of their car. Another guy that drove the car up there was Rodney Sumter, who was our ambassador from Australia, and he said a UFO came down, buzzed the car up in the crater. So this kept on going on. But after a few months, we started wondering, well, how come we keep seeing it, but we're not making any kind of contact? So one night, three of us, Paul Gruver and I and this guy Nick Cole in our Department of Interplanetary Affairs, decided to stay up all night meditating on the crystals and the symbol. And we had a huge painting of it on the wall. And we kept doing it until everybody fell asleep. And nothing happened. So the next morning, I got up and I went down to the seawall overlooking the harbor in Lahaina. I was sitting on a bench watching the sunrise. And a man walked up to me. And he sat down next to me, and he didn't say anything. And he'd been there for about maybe 5 minutes, and I turned and I looked at him, and he had shoulder-length blonde hair, really clear, beautiful blue eyes, extremely handsome man, and he was wearing an Aloha shirt and a pair of slacks. And I go, "Good morning, brother," and he goes, "Good morning," and he smiled. And I go, "Where are you from?" And he smiles, and I just came from the White Temple of the Great White Lodge of the Great White Brotherhood.
That's a nice hello.
And that just about floored me. And I go, "Why, are you an ascended master? I've always wanted to meet an ascended master." And he goes, "No, I'm not an ascended master, but I'm a representative for the Brotherhood." I go, "What are you doing in Lahaina?"
Yeah, of all places.
And he said the Hierophant had sent him to Maui to investigate our Department of Interplanetary Affairs, and our planetary citizens were called Exeons, and what the planetary citizens were and what they were doing. And he asked me to explain. And I said, "Well, we don't consider ourselves Americans or Germans or Russians, or we're planetary citizens. We're not Catholics or Protestants or Muslims. We are planetary." And And we don't discriminate on people based on gender, race, religion, nationality, economic level, or educational level. And he smiled and he said, that's quite good. And then I said, well, you know what? we just formed this new department called the Department of the Universe. And Marama wanted to leave the island and go someplace. She wanted to go to Colorado. We need a new director for it. And I think you would be perfect for doing it. How would you like to be one of our planetary citizens in the Exeons and run the Department of the Universe? And he kind of laughed. And he goes, there might be one problem. I go, what is it? He goes, well, I'm from another planet.
That would be a problem.
I go, well, would you mind telling me what planet that is? He goes, well, I'm from the planet you call Venus. And he said he was the pilot of a UFO that was hovering over the crater. It was stationed over Holyoke Crater, which reminded me because an astronomer from the observatory up in the crater, the telescope, would come into my office and filled out one of my UFO reports saying there was a flying saucer that had been hovering over the crater, and it was stationed up there, and the astronomers had been monitoring it for quite a while, and it was just sitting there. And we told me that was a ship.
Oh, so you had correlating evidence that he, well, he may or may not have known, but you had already received a report about this ship, and he was telling you that was his ship. Wow, that's interesting.
Now, still, there's a bit of skepticism, and he gave me a name, and he told me not to reveal it to anybody without his permission, but he said, if anybody sees you with me, tell me my name is Rick Evers. I'm using that name on the Earth. And I go, okay, but he told me that even that, nobody was supposed to know who he was, you know, and he wanted me to take him to my office for interplanetary affairs, and he wanted to see our files and what we were teaching, what we were doing. Well, I told him that night, it just so happened, we were having our weekly meeting on Thursday night. We had a UFO meeting every Thursday night, and they were packed, because everybody had been seeing ships all over Lahaina, like, for 3 months, and so everybody wanted to go find out about them. And he asked me what the meeting was about. I go, well, you're here at the right time. It's about Venus. We're talking about the Venusian secret science. And this is really incredible because we had a big painting on our wall of the capital city of Venus, Reds. It's a spaceport up there. And at the time that that Richard Fields painted it, we weren't sure what it was. And what happened, a friend of mine, John Schofield, that ran the Aquarian Aid Center, channeled it. And he drew it. He was a great artist. And Richard Fields painted it. But we thought it was something from Lemuria. But what it is, it's a six-pointed star with a pyramid right in the middle. And there's six domes on each of the points, surrounded by 144 domes and pyramids and concentric circles. So he was staring at the painting. He goes, you know what that is? And I go, I'm not sure what it is. You know, my friend channeled it and painted it. And he goes, that's our spaceport. That's Rets. That's on Venus. And he said, that's the only thing on the material plane of Venus. Everything else is in another dimension. But that was the one thing that was on the material plane, was an intergalactic spaceport. And so we're just going, whoa, you know. And so the next thing that happened was he said he'd like to go to the meeting. And hear what we said about Venus, but he wouldn't talk, and he didn't want anybody to know who he was except just the few people that I told about that, you know. Well, before the meeting, we went over to my apartment, and my father happened to be visiting from California, and my father didn't believe in UFOs. He was a skeptic. And he came in there, and we asked him if he wanted to go to the meeting, and he goes, no, I don't want to go to the meeting because I don't believe in UFOs. I think you guys have been smoking a lot of pot. And he turned to look at it, and I go, he goes, what's the meeting about? I go, we're going to talk about Venusians. And so my dad looked at the pilot who was sitting right next to him, and he said, do you believe in Venusians? And the pilot smiled, and he goes, yes, I do. And my dad said, I think you guys have been dropping too much LSD. I'm going out to dinner.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Well, yeah, so that night we went to the meeting, and we were doing the Venusian secret science, and he was just sitting in this big crowd. It was packed, and suddenly Leslie Potts, who was one of the big stars in Rainbow Bridge, came in, and he said that they were hovering right over the meeting. And everybody ran outside, and there was a formation of UFOs directly overhead. And so I ran over the pilot, and he goes, yeah, that's my fleet. And then they took off, and they flew right down Restaurant Row in Lahaina, which is the biggest tourist city on Maui.
Well, let me ask you, how high up were they?
They were low. You could see.
Were they treetop? Were they higher than that or lower than that?
They might have been up about, you know, 500 or 600 feet. It's kind of hard to glowing, and they were glowing gold and glowing green. And they flew down Restaurant Row, and they got in the headlines in the newspapers. They were all over radio and TV. The cops saw them, thousands of tourists saw them. And it's funny, my dad was in one of the restaurants having dinner, and they buzzed this restaurant. It was
Front Street.
Yeah, it was called Buzz's downtown. It's, right now it's called the Fish Market.
So they buzzed Buzz's.
Yeah, they went right by there. My dad was having a cocktail and dinner. And when I came home that night, he looked like he'd seen a ghost. And he was just standing there, spaced down. He goes, you know what? I saw him. I saw some flying saucers.
Well, that was good validation for him. Yeah.
And so the next thing happened, this was during the period that United Nations heard about us, which I talked about last week. And Otto Mollet, the president of the United Nations, heard there was a Venusian on Maui and sent Frieda over, who was in charge of the United Nations UFO investigation. And so we picked up Frieda Esquivel at the airport. You know, I arranged a meeting between Frieda and the pilot. And so we drove out to Napili. It's a little town on the north shore of Maui. And we had the meeting in this house, and there was a big window. And so the pilot walked into the place, and I introduced the pilot to the United Nations leader, who I believe was the second most powerful person in the United Nations in 1972. And basically, the United Nations, there was a private meeting, and we look outside, and everybody started yelling, hey, there's a flying saucer right out the window. And we looked down, and there was a big UFO hovering, and very calmly, the pilot said, that's my craft monitoring the meeting. And I had a private meeting with Frieda after, and Frieda goes, that's a genuine Venusian pilot. And also the pilot, that Major Wayne S. Aho, who was on Maui, he used to investigate UFOs for the Pentagon. And he is the guy that reverse engineered the Roswell crash with Corso. He was Corso's main assistant.
Was it Aho? What was his name?
Major Wayne S. Aho.
Aho, thank you.
Yeah, and he met the pilot. He said that was a genuine Venusian, you know, because he had all his Pentagon stuff on it, you know. And this person was on the island for 6 months. And then here's the thing. When I first met him, I wanted to see if he was a hoaxer. So I started quizzing him about Venusian secret science and asking these questions. This, you know, out of this obscure book, he answered every one of them perfectly. Everyone. And also more kind of confirmation is I went to Pearl Harbor. And I visited Sergeant Willard Wendell, that was in charge of investigating UFOs in Pearl Harbor for Army intelligence in the Pentagon. Well, I had that spaceport on the front of my shirt. It was on a silkscreen, the capital city of Venus. And so he was staring at my shirt. He goes, you know what that is? And I go, you know what? I think I know what it is, but do you know what it is? He goes, I know what that is. And I go, what is it? He goes, that's the spaceport on Venus Rex.
Wow.
That's more confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said it had been photographed by satellites.
Oh, okay, because there was somebody that was on the Jerry Springer show with Onek and there's a couple other people, but they were saying that the bunker that they had said that it had not been filmed, but that was 20 years ago, the Jerry Springer show, so I don't know when they actually did film that, but that's what he was saying, and she was saying, well, no, it's there, you got it's a big place, you haven't mapped it all yet. So anyway, that's interesting that you mentioned that. So go ahead, we have about 7 minutes, and then we're going
to
call
Omnek. There's more
to this
encounter. Well, the guy was here. What changed? How did it? What happened?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, he totally advises how to step the Department of Planetary Affairs, and also the council. We have Supreme Council.
You want to talk to the top of the mic?
Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah, he showed us how to set up the Department of Planetary Affairs so we could stay in contact, and he put us under divine protection, and he said we'd be guarded from the Men in Black, because we'd been hassled at that point in time. They were spying on us, and they kicked us out of our world headquarters. The FBI came over and had us evicted, saying we were subversives, and they were stealing our mail, and we were getting all these threats, and the guy at Pearl Harbor said we were on an assassination list, you know, and all that. So, and I think it worked, because I have been under the protection. I got away with all kinds of stuff I should have never gotten away with. But I want to say something about Onek. Back in 1990, I believe it was, I read the daily newspaper, the Honolulu Advertiser Star Bulletin, every day, because sometimes stuff slips in for one day. And right in the global news section, where there's no fiction, with stuff about the war in Iraq, you know, and about what's going on in Red China and stuff, they had an article, and it goes, speaker from Venus at the International UFO Congress. And it was Onek. And it was a article. It wasn't, they didn't make fun of her at all. It was a very, and you know what it was? It was United Press International. And United Press International, they say what they believe is the truth. And how about how Onik had appeared there, you know, and talked at the conference and everything. And so I sent two people from Department of Planetary Affairs to the conference to interview Onik. Dean, he was our ambassador of the United States for X International, and Romeo, that was in charge of our holistic healing department. They met Onik. And also Captain Mark Huber from Naval Intelligence, that flew spy planes over the Soviet Union. And Mark Huber was in charge of investigating UFOs for the Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he met Onik, and he said she was totally a Venusian, completely. This is coming from the guy investigating UFOs for the Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And so they came back, and they said that they were there, and that Onik was able to convince complete skeptics she was really from Venus because of her tremendous telepathic powers and her energy. And it was just amazing, you know, they were telling us these stories. And
yeah, so it's interesting. How do you prove you're from Venus? And what she was saying on the Jerry Springer show is that she incarnated into human form, so she's basically a human body. They're not going to take a DNA test and find something different. But her soul has full remembrance of her life as a Venusian, and that she consciously incarnated into a human form as a little girl. So we've got another couple minutes. Why don't I try calling her? Because that might have been she on the regular phone trying to call us. So let me take a moment here. And you guys keep talking, although there'll be probably a sound of a phone calling. But you can keep talking.
Well, you know, I say something about Onik. She's not a walk-in. She was actually brought here from Venus in her Venusian body. And they substituted her at a family for a woman that had died in a bus accident. She came here in her Venusian body, but once they get here on Venus, they can be 1,000 years old and look like you're 20, but once she gets an ARP.
Well, what was your Venusian body like? What did you hear? What were you told about what the body that she had before she got Arkine?
Hello?
What did your body...
After the tone.
Hi, Onik. This is Janet and Sasha.
Hello.
Hi,
yeah,
you're
hello.
There. Hi,
hello.
Welcome
yeah,
to the
I was
Cosmic.
Waiting.
Oh, good. I'm glad you were standing by. We have our very special guest here, Steve Omar, and I am Janet Keir Lesson with my co-host, my husband, Dr. Sasha Lesson.
Hi.
Welcome to our show. Steve, did you meet Onik, or you just in before, or did you just...
Well, what I did was back in 1990, I gave a lecture on Venus at the Future Aid Center on Maui, and... Dean, you know, who was our planetary ambassador to the UFO conferences, had met Onik there, and so had Romeo, a friend of mine. And so what they did, they brought me her book, which I have the book, and I just gave it to Jana here to read.
Yeah.
And so they gave me her phone number, and I talked to her on the phone very briefly, you know.
You talked to Omnic.
Yeah, 1990 about my Venusian lecture. I don't know if she remembers. That was a long time
long
ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah, he's a friend of Romero's. I remember you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Onik, do you want to share a little bit with our audience about your story? And then we'll start asking some questions. You just want to... I read a little bit from your book. I had a printout from your website. And I said that you know, the story about how you... But anyway, it's better if it comes from you. How did you get here?
Well, originally I lived in the astral dimension of Venus. And I was growing up there as a child, and I had a choice to come to Earth as an experiment to see if a person from that dimension could exist in the physical. So it was all an experiment. And I had lots of karmic ties to families here.
Okay, so you had karmic ties.
I made the choice to come in 1955.
So that means the souls are interacting on the other plane. So, or how did you have karmic ties with human earth people?
How did you choose those who you'd be parented by?
Yeah.
It was my previous incarnations in other lifetimes.
And were they here or on Venus?
My incarnations before were on Earth.
Oh, okay. the only incarnation you chose on Venus, or have you had previous incarnations on Venus as well?
Oh, I've had incarnations a lot of places.
And that's what the research is showing us. Yeah, Dr. Michael Newton and the Newton Institute, what their research is showing, that souls can have many origins coming from different planes, different planets, some simultaneously. So
exactly.
Wonderful, yes. So go ahead and continue with your story, because a lot of these listeners are new to this information.
And my uncle from Venus, you know, he was a scientist, and he was in the physical many times doing experiments because we have the ability to manifest a physical body. But once we manifest a physical body, we have to live in the physical universe and cannot return to the astral dimension.
So you have to live
and
out
so
this lifetime.
So I made the decision to come and manifest a body, and we traveled by a spaceship to the Earth. And I lived in Tibet first. I had to adjust my physical body and learn how to use it and how it worked. And so all that was training that I had in a monastery in Tibet.
What size were you when you came? Were you full grown or were you a neonate?
7-year-old child.
Seven? Uh-huh.
And this
I looked
monastery...
like, but I was much older, but I looked like a child.
Right, you resemble physically a child, but your soul was much older.
And did you speak
exactly.
Tibetan initially?
Yeah, there's a temple there that when people come to Earth, it's known for them to adjust to the physical because it exists on more than one dimension, and it's easier because of the elevation for the people to adjust to the physical Earth.
Okay, so
it's
the
transition
temple...
station.
Yeah, the temple in Tibet does this frequently. It welcomes extraterrestrials.
Well, what's the name of that temple?
Or
is it a secret?
Oh, my God. I can't think of it now, but it's in my book.
Okay.
It was
okay,
in the Montessori Mountains of Tibet.
Thank you.
Steve, you had something to add. Go ahead.
You know, I was reading in your book, which I've read 4 or 5 times, about when you had your first restaurant experience on the way to Tennessee after you got picked up by the Martian and the Cadillac. Could you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, it was quite funny. A lot of my experiences on Earth were quite humorous for other people and a little bit startling for myself. Yeah, I had my first cola and my first hot dog.
Oh, wow. What did you think of that?
It was my first time riding in an automobile, which was really, you know, quite jolting, and it was noisy and something I wasn't used to.
So how did you get from Tibet to back to...
Wait, there's a Martian there, huh?
Yeah, how did you get to the hot dog and the Coke and the cola or whatever it was in the Martian?
Well,
how
we
did you get from the monastery in
Tibet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we took a ship from Tibet to the Nevada desert and was met there by a Martian with an automobile.
A Martian. Now, was the Martian in human incarnated form?
Other aliens who were doing transactions on Earth with scientists and so on. They were bringing inventions for the benefit of mankind.
Wow. So these people, these Martians.
So the meeting was arranged. You're part of an organization with this other fellow. Is that? Am I getting you right?
Yeah. Well, we have connections on Earth. You know, people that welcome us and help us to bring things to society that are beneficial. And
wow.
So we interact with them, and then in return they help us to adjust and be assimilated into your societies.
That's fascinating. So how long has this been going on?
For hundreds and hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years, wow.
Exchange students,
I want to say.
Nothing new, yeah.
Are we sending people to other planets, humans, or are they going to other planets?
Well, sometimes, science, certainly.
scientists.
So what do we as others, what is it that attracts others to try to help us out and be here?
Well, because we feel that every human being is connected, because we're all, you know, a part of God's creation, and we try to support and benefit one another as best we can to help man to achieve the greatest awareness and abilities to adjust to and to grow into a more evolved human being with greater societies and a chance for living in harmony with the universe.
How can we overcome the forces of evil that suppress consciousness on this planet?
Well, that's a whole another chapter about the transformation process that we spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years working on. And now it's in process. It's working on Earth. We're in the transformation at this moment.
Can you tell us a little bit?
You're being able to talk to us is part of the transformation. I can feel it.
Oh, thank you.
Steve
wants
to
really
say something. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead. Steve, who's with us, I'm sorry, he's been very polite. He wants to say something. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, this is really important. Sure. Here in Hawaii, I'm in charge of a group of people starting a barter network and where we all trade. We don't rely on money. And we want to know about the Venusian economy. I understand you don't use money on Venus.
No. We did away with that a long time ago.
What do you do? How do you get food and clothing and everything up here, housing?
Well, we all work together and we share. And then, of course, whatever that we can process or create, we barter. Yeah, we exchange.
Exchange.
That was how we started, and that's how we live now for all time. It's written in the chapters in my book.
How do we stop the violence and the wars on this planet?
Well, we have to change the consciousness of people, and it has to begin with ourselves first.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about this transformation chapter that's now written, and we've just begun.
We're trying to return human beings to their original. The original human being had much more abilities and communications with higher dimensions and non-physical beings that once were humans who are now evolved into what you call masters. And all this was quite common. And there was a big change that took place on Earth. And it's mentioned in my book, you know, about... what happened to the original human beings and how the brain was divided so that only part that was left working was the part that would help you and benefit you for speaking and for existing in the physical and nullified all of the extra senses that people had. And what we're doing with the transformation is stimulating and helping the two brain halves to work as one again. And it's all described in my book. There's lots of information in there. And I spent years traveling and speaking and doing workshops with people, which I can't do anymore. But it was for the transformation process. And I set in motion meditations and ways that people, and I explain it in my book, how that you can be a part of this and how the process works and how that you can practice and keep the process in action. Everybody
well,
has
you know,
there, a part.
There's something else, too, which is I can feel like some kind of direct transmission of from you, hearing your voice going into my body. I you feel like the real thing to me. I really love hearing you.
Oh, thank you. It's very hard for me. I had to learn to talk and walk and everything after my stroke. So I'm not perfect as I was before. It was easier for me, you know. But I appreciate the chance and the kindness of you people asking me. And of course, I love to speak with people.
Well, we love having you on here, and hopefully you can feel up to coming back and doing I'll be on our agreed upon half hour. So, but maybe you can join us again another time. And we still do have over like 15, 20 minutes. Steve has another question, but let me just say something, and then we'll pass. We're so excited having you here for one thing.
Oh, well, I'm very happy. Thank you.
Yeah, we're very kind,
especially at my age.
Well, we're all getting up there. I just turned 60. My beloved Sasha, who's talking, is now 73. So I'm really looking forward to this, what we're going through, the transformation. I had a question, then Steve gets to do one. Okay, we'll share. How's that?
Okay.
This change that happened to humanity, my husband and I study the Anunnaki. I don't know if you're familiar with the Anunnaki in your cosmology, but these were the story that was translated by Zechariah Sitchin and many other researchers into the ancient languages says that they came in here and created hybrids between themselves and the local humanoid life that was evolving. And there has it correlates with what you said, that they dummied down humanity and they did something with the brain because there were so many of us and so few of them, and they were afraid of our natural connection to spirituality and higher realms. So does that seem to jibe with what your cosmology says? Because I haven't had a chance to read the book. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's a whole lot of information in the book, believe me. A lot more than
I just got a copy of it delivered to me right, like 2 seconds. Actually, the show started, and Steve delivered this copy, and I'm going to sit here the next few days and just absorb it. But if you could just kind of tell us.
You know, the transformation process began in 1999, and with the beginning of the process, all of the human beings' karmic ties were ended so that any kind of being living again is purely by choice and not that you're forced to through a karmic debt.
Thank God.
So all
yes,
that feels
so right to me, yes.
Oh, Steve wants to ask a question.
There's so much information in the book. I wish I could tell you all of it. But
well, we'll take our time and we'll take our time and go through it. And I do want to, before Steve, the book is called UFO From Venus I Came, an autobiography by Onik A. Venusian. Is that available on Amazon.com still?
The Venusian Trilogy, yeah, the brand new one. It's got all my books in one.
Oh, all the books are in one. So I will, as soon as I get off this show, I will order that. And hopefully it'll take less than a week to get here. All right.
Yeah, before that, the only book that was available was From Venus I Came. But now you've got From Venus I Came, Angels Don't Cry, and my spiritual information as well. So you got all three.
Excellent. Okay, Steve wants to talk. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, you know, I read your book in 1990, and I've always been interested in what you've done and what the Venusians have done between 1990 and 2014, and was wondering if your new books talk about that. And also, I was reading the state newspaper over here in 1990, I believe it was, and there was an article about you by United Press International in the global news section with all, you know, the war in Iraq and all the major world events. It was none in the opinion section at all. It's a very favorable article about how you appeared at the International UFO Congress. And, you know, usually they just make fun of ETs. And so I got two questions. One, how was your presentation to a point where you got a favorable review by United Press International? And also I want to know about reading about what you've done since 1990.
It's Shakti Pat, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so go ahead.
It's amazing, you know. The fact is that most of the people that were interviewing me came out intentionally wanting to make fun of me, but they got more interest in what I was saying because it was made sense, you know. And they got interested and forgot about making fun of me. So it turned out very good, every interview. Anya has, in Germany, my friend Anya has videotapes of my German TV interviews with news stations. They're very, very interesting. And she has a lot of videotapes anyway of my workshops and things available for people.
And how about your books? Do they go up to 2013 or 2012, or how we can read about what's happened since the 1990s?
Everything is in the books that I have written or published.
Mm-hmm. And so that takes... There's nothing new. So there's nothing new to come out.
Did you collaborate with anyone writing the book, or did you do it all solo?
Well, originally I talked into a tape recorder, and a gentleman named, well, he was a young boy at the time, 17. He
wow.
put the manuscript together. Reiner Ludke was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good friend of mine, and he volunteered to do this on his own. So he
Excellent.
Put the original manuscript together.
So I still want to go back and piece things together for our listeners who are brand new to your information. And I do want to encourage people to go to, is this a website they can go to where they can perhaps get some DVDs and books or whatever? What is your website?
I have one. My own homepage is omnicomnic@.com.
Okay. Well, I will put a link to that website also on AquarianRadio.com, which is our website for our radio shows, and so people can click through.
Yeah, and
to Anya that.
Keeps it updated all the time with photos, and when I'm there, I'm going, to Norway in the fall.
Uh-huh.
To a UFO
Wonderful.
Congress happen in Norway.
So you're feeling up to traveling again and presenting?
Well, they're paying my way and inviting me to speak, so I'm coming.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm hoping to encourage you to come to something we're putting on in California, but I'll talk to you off the radio about
and
that.
And you might talk to Anya because they're interested in other speakers for the UFO Congress, if anybody's
Excellent.
Interested.
Well, we love presenting on the Anunnaki. So Norway, here we come. That'd be great. I will speak with her after we're off the air. So let's go back a little bit more to your story. So we have you landing in the desert in Nevada with your uncle.
Yeah, and I was placed with a family in Tennessee, a little girl that I had karma with, and I had received her genetic imprint so that my physical body will look similar to hers because I was going to live with her family in her place after she died in an accident.
Did they know you were from Venus, your adopted family?
No, not exactly.
Oh.
But later on, I told my Earth mother and my Earth father both. I informed them.
Did they believe you?
Or did they know and they just didn't say anything for...
Well, I don't know that they actually noticed or anything, but they loved me anyway. It was just, they started to notice that with children and other people and animals and things that there was a great attraction, unusual, in this, and they noticed a lot of things. And I was like a little old lady rather than a little child. And,
wow.
But it's very interesting. It's all in the book. And then talks about me getting married, my children, and getting involved with a spiritual teacher, a master who came to Venus and actually saw me as a child and remembers me. And it's all very interesting. And then I wrote the book just to inform people and to share
mm-hmm.
my knowledge with people. And it turned out to be that I was intended to do a lot of spiritual work that I wasn't aware the masters had in mind for me. And that was my real destiny.
Wow.
And that's what I did for years in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we're glad that you have recovered and now you're going to be back doing it because that is your calling, and so that's wonderful.
Well, I'm not going to be doing a lot of things. I can appear and talk for at least a half an hour or so. I'm making appearances,
yeah.
And I love to meet with people and give my hugs and have my photos made with them, my fans.
Do you know if the Venusian fleet is still here in, as Valiantor, one of your acquaintances?
Well, he's around, but he's not here on Earth.
Oh.
Did you meet George Adamski?
No. I met his son in Las Vegas, and I translated a piece of Venusian writing they had brought to me for them.
What did it say?
That was a long time ago.
No, you don't remember what it said.
Yeah, Adamski was one of the original contactees on Earth who made everything possible to go public with it.
So are there other Venusians or other, you said that this is an ongoing program.
That's
have you met other people?
Social welfare.
Have you met other people that are from other planets that are in human
Not
form?
Not recently, no.
But you have
but they are
the first
here.
Of your life?
They do live here and they do work here. But they don't stay as many years as I have. Most of
What's
them are
behind
only
you?
Here for short periods.
And do they die or do they just disappear? How do they leave?
They usually go back and live on the spaceships and work in the scientific laboratories. Or a lot of motherships are working for the transformation of Earth. And they're around the Earth and they are out in space. And some of them just spend their whole lives on the crafts and some short times on different planets.
Wow.
So they have a whole, you know, their whole work for them.
Well, you know, I'd love to have you at a conference where you could actually take us through some of the exercises that help us escape the limitations in our, and let us, you know, ascend.
Yeah, I have a meditation CD that's available. And I created music with a whole bunch of musicians from all over the world. Took me 3 years to produce. And it takes you on a journey through the different dimensions. It's called the Soul Journey. And you can also order this CD. And the music was created with the different dimensions and sound and vibrations, everything in mind.
Oh, we got to get it.
Okay,
Steve. At the beginning of the CD, there's actually a sound of a UFO I got from Wendell Stevens.
Oh, from Wendell. Yeah, he was such a lovely man. Okay, Steve's got a question.
Yeah, I met Wendell, and he told me all about you, too. And also, do you remember Mark Huber, who was a commander from Naval Intelligence that flew spy planes for the Soviet Union? And he told me he met you at the UFO conference, and he was in charge of investigating UFOs for the Defense Intelligence Agency. And he was really impressed. And in fact, he even took me up in the crater, Haleakala Crater on Mount, and showed me seven UFOs hovering over the crater. Do you remember Mark Huber?
Wow. I remember him.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is like some of the other Venusians on the planet, did you meet Dr. Frank Strangeis? Because I did meet him before he died, and he was in charge of our Department of
Planetary Affairs. I was on television with him in Chicago.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you know, the guy that...
On the Jerry Springer show.
Well, you know, the man that took over his organization after he died for California, Michael Heberger, is a very good friend of mine. He said he met Valiantor in the International Airport and had a talk with him.
Wow,
when was that?
That's great.
Just a few years ago.
So let me ask that then. If can they travel rapidly? Or are they limited? How do they get hit from here to there and back? That's been a big question in the UFOs field, or the IFO, they're identified. How do they do the space travel? Does it take weeks? Does it take days, hours, minutes?
No, it's very fast. They travel with crystals and sound and magnetic energy. It's a magnetic EMF.
EMF. Mm-hmm. So, how long would it take for you to go from Venus to Earth? Like your initial trip, how long did that take?
A couple of hours.
Couple hours. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
they have the ability to change their vibration.
Yeah.
And even to another level of instead of just being physical, like change the whole vibration level of their existence so they can appear in a second somewhere and be somewhere else. They have control over everything, over matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They can change their structure. Yep, they're really far advanced. That's
okay.
How come they can zip in and out of view when people see them, and all of a sudden they disappear.
Right, because they can travel that fast, or they appear to blink
well,
in and blink out.
They change their vibration, and the people can no longer see them.
Right. So when you if you have someone that's see what happened when I was a kid, I would take people out, and because I could see them, they could see them. But if I wasn't around, they couldn't. I could never explain that. What was that about? Does it make any sense?
Has
I
to do with your own energy field?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Because I say
when
you
have
to see
a very special energy field, plus your higher consciousness, and that makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. Steve, you have another question? We only have 5 minutes.
Yeah, I've been studying UFOs since 1957, and I noticed that most of the contacts in the 50s and 60s were Venusian, and then beginning in the 70s until now, they've been mostly Palladian and Sirian. Are the Palladians and Sirians active on Venus, too? Do they have bases there, and do they interchange with you?
Palladians have their own agenda. I mean, you know, they're like a divided people. There are the ones who are working for the benefit of the good, and there's the ones who are working for their own benefit.
Could you tell us more about
they're
that?
They're like other beings. They're good and there's bad.
Are they here?
And you can't
are both
say they're
here?
All bad or they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the Anunnaki.
They have a lot to do with the division of the mankind's brain. The Pleiadians are the ones who initiated that. It's in my book.
Okay. We'll have to read this.
So, you know, I have a question going back to your stepping into that family. Did you take the body of the girl that died and you had all her memories, or were you another child that was taken into the family?
No. My soul accompanied her soul in the birth process, and I received the genetic imprints of her body, you know, the same imprint, so that I would physically have the same characteristics.
So you could remember whatever her experiences up to that point were. You had the command of that, her memories. Is that, do I got you right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
And so they were aware that their child died, or I'm sorry, I got confused there.
Well, later on they found out. But
so
she died in a bus accident on the way to her grandmother, and I went to the grandmother in her place.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was wondering
everybody in the bus accident didn't perish.
Mm-hmm.
And I
but what happened to her? What happened to the body of her, the original one?
It burned in the crash. It was a very terrible crash. And I was standing there with the survivors, and I replaced her. And I went to her grandmother in her place.
All right, well, we're running out of time,
thank you for
coming. I hope that we can have you back for more next week. We've got less than a minute. What would you like to say to our listeners?
I'd like to give them a Venusian greeting, which means may the universal love and blessings be. A mule, a baktu, baraka, bashad.
Lovely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining.
Namaste.
Namaste. Love and blessings. Steve, do you have anything to say before we sign off today?
Yeah, aloha and mahalo from Hawaii. We welcome you. If you want to come to Maui, you get VIP treatment.
Absolutely.
And we do hope to see you again next week. And we're going to talk to Anya and see about going to Norway.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And lots of love to all of you. Bye-bye, Steve.
Okay, and aloha.
Okay, aloha, everybody. Love and blessings.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're done.